Hello. It's good to see everybody today. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. How's your faith doing today? No, honestly, how's your faith doing today? Good. Let me help you with some faith. I'm going to help you with your faith. Cameron, are you here today, Cameron? Did Cameron make it today? If Cameron, that's okay if you didn't. It's okay. Okay. So listen, I'll be continuing in part two here in Lorraine of my Avalanche series. And I want you to know about a month and a half or 2 months ago, your faith here in Lorraine created an avalanche in the life of a young boy, 16 years old, who was riddled with leukemia and really told me specifically, said, I'm just kind of done, I'm ready to check out. And the doctors told him there's just, you know, it's bleak, it's, you know, there's really not a whole lot. We can do this thing, but really there's not a whole lot to hold on to. But, you know, in that day, in that service, he testified the following day. He said something happened in that service on that day, Pastor Troy. Something was there. I felt fire inside of me on that day when the congregation began to pray. And I want you to take this, and I want you to understand that God wants to create an avalanche in your life. He wants your life to be an avalanche impact, not just for you, not just for your children, not just for your community, but for this region, for our nation, for the nations of the world. There are plenty of others who are waiting for a provocation in their soul from you, from your faith that says, you shall not die, but you shall live. Now, I haven't told you the good news yet, but I got a message last week, just before Sunday. I was on the other side of town. I got a message, and it said this. It said, Pastor Troy, just want to let you know that the doctor said, astoundingly, they can't understand what happened, but this young boy, Cameron, is 100% healed of cancer. Now, that's the kind of stuff you say, that's ridiculous, that's hyper faith, that doesn't happen. I'm just telling you what he told me. I'm telling you that the doctors reported where there was no hope, suddenly a miracle occurred, that hope came, flooded this young boy's heart, and I think it happened. No, I know it happened because there was this synergistic combining of faith on a Sunday morning when you walked in and I walked in and we walked in collectively and we put our faith in a bucket and we threw it up to heaven and we said, God, hear this young boy's cry. Hear this young boy. Hear this mother's cry whose young boy is sick, sick with cancer, whom the doctors say can't be healed. God, I know with you all things are possible. And maybe you're here today and you say, I got all things are impossible situation. I got an impossible situation. I want your faith to be lifted today. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, let your faith be lifted today. God can do all things. If he healed him, he can heal you. If he did it for one, he can do it for you. He is no respecter. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you did last night. I know some of you in here qualifying yourself today. Some of us didn't come to church today and we're watching online because we feel disqualified. I just want you to know today that I just want you to read the book of Hosea. Hosea, he was a prophet who had a wife who was a prostitute. Her name was Gomer. God said, go marry Gomer. Because I want you to know, I want it to be known before my son, whom I love, who will pay the penalty of all of your sin before he even gets there. I want you to write a story, Hosea. I want you to tell a love story so powerful that says, no matter how bad your sin is, no matter how far from grace you've fallen, my love will reach down to the mire. No, beneath the mire. It goes down into the sediment of the bedrock, and it will pull you out of it no matter how far you've fallen. God said, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to keep coming after you. I'm going to keep chasing you. There's no place you can go from my love. You are Gomer. Stop disqualifying yourself. If God did it for Cameron, God can do it for you. If God raised those finances up, God can raise your finances up. If God did it, I heard somebody the other I gotta relax. Gotta chill. I button up my suit maybe a little bit here. My goodness, I hit the ground running. God, I heard somebody the other day. He said, I'm so jealous. He saw something going on somewhere else. And he said, man, I'm so jealous. I didn't say nothing at the time, but I just sat over there. You ever hear something and your spirit go, ew? I'm like, what are you jealous for? Jealous? If God did it for them, why are you jealous? God will do it for you. Don't be jealous. Be full of faith. Don't covet it. It only becomes wrong. It only becomes wrong when you don't have any faith. It only becomes covetousness when you don't have the faith to believe for greater than that. That's when it becomes messed up. When you start wanting what my faith can provide, not your faith can provide even more than that. If two fish and five loaves or two fish and three loaves can feed 5,000, I think you should stop hijacking that little boy's faith and start using your own faith. Stop coveting his faith. Start occupying your own faith. Start creating multiplication and exponential growth somewhere in your life. God wants to create an avalanche impact with you. It happened about 2 months ago in the life of a little boy named Cameron. And I just believe God today that's going to happen for you. You're watching online. It's going to happen for you. 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 I mean, come on, stand up, sister. Stand up. Stand up. She's a miracle. She's a miracle. Says she wouldn't make it. There she is. There she is. I saw her up there praising God. Come on, let your faith be lifted today. Come on, your children are going to serve the Lord. Come on, your household shall serve the Lord. God's going to do an amazing work in Lorain, Ohio. The economy's going to turn in Jesus' name. Cancer rates are going to fall in Jesus' name. Because he doesn't care. He does not care about your resume. He doesn't care about your resume. He doesn't care. He doesn't care where you worked. He doesn't care if it was good or bad. He just said, listen, my promises, I just want you to soak in a pool of my promises. Come out soaked and drenched and pruned and ready to believe for the impossible. I can't preach until you're ready. I don't want to preach until you say, I'm ready to believe God for some crazy stuff. Okay, let me just be honest. I said, God, I'm not getting up there throwing seed on soil that's hard. If your soil's hard, lean over to your neighbor and say, can you till up my soil today? Because we got about 30 minutes. Don't waste them. We got about 30 minutes where the word's going to go. Don't waste them. Don't sit in here wasting time. It's a commodity you don't get back. You're not getting any more. Just stop wasting it. Stop coming to church for nothing. Come to church for something. Come to church believing that one day we won't see any more wheelchairs in here. Come to church believing. And you say, that's hyper faith. I just see it happening. I just see it happening. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? This is why you need to go and see Minister Nancy. Can you please stand for everybody? Minister Nancy's going to stand. She is heading up. Give her a great big hand. She's heading up NCSSM, the North Coast School of Supernatural Ministry. And you, how many have not gone through first year yet? Raise your hand if you've not gone through. Okay, everyone with your hand up, see Minister Nancy before you leave today. No, seriously, I'm telling you the truth. You need to see her because you've been programmed to believe lies. You've been programmed to believe in lies rather than truth. I shared with you a couple weeks ago, God does not flatter us. He has no need to flatter you. He's not paying you compliments. He's telling you the truth. So if God has spoken to your destiny and to your future, He's not doing it so you'll blush. He's not doing it so you'll like Him more. He doesn't have an ego problem like us. He doesn't need our affirmation. He doesn't need our that-a-boy. He doesn't need us. You know what flattery is? Flattery are pretentious lies. They're pretentious lies. Meaning, not only do you lie to me, but you do it to my face. And you smile while you do it. God doesn't need to do that to us. He has no... He doesn't need your approval of Him. The reason He's telling you you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The reason He's telling you you are more than a conqueror is because He's attempting to create an avalanche in the earth. He's attempting to create a collapse of exponential faith in the life of those that surround you and even your life. Some of us are sitting in places that we have no business sitting in. Some of us are living in homes we should have been out of 30 years ago. Some of us are driving broke cars we should not be driving anymore. But it is because we have believed lies rather than truth. We have believed that our experience creates our reality today rather than the truth of God's word that we're paid for by His life. That's why you need to go to NCSSM. Because what it will do, it will foster faith in your heart. And it will tell you, all things really are possible to those that believe. It will foster faith in your heart so much so that if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, you'll actually believe it. You'll lay hands on the sick and you won't be satisfied that they lay there. You'll walk out of the hospital upset. You'll stop believing the lies that the enemy's telling you over your spouse. You'll start looking at that person through the eyes and the lens of the cross rather than through previous experience. Well, I've been married to this no good jerk for 15 years. He's been a no good jerk for 15 years. But suddenly you start pumping the truth into your life and you'll start seeing the potential of your husband as one who can create and provoke an avalanche. That's why. Amos 9:13. We'll pick up there. What else do I need to talk about? I'll be having a life group tonight if anyone's interested. I often have people say, how come I can't be in your life group? You can. It's tonight, 5:00. Out in Avon, you can join me there. And then also, if you haven't filled out a hello card, please do that. Or you can text hello to 22383. And then you can fill it out digitally on your cell phone there. You can do that on your cell phone. Amos 9:13. Amos 9:13. Nobody back there? It's cool. I got a Bible. I brought paper today. It's dangerous though when you bring paper because you just look. You can get rabbit trailed so fast. Amos 9:13 says, "Behold, the days are coming," says the Lord. Amos declares, "Behold, the days are coming," says the Lord. "When the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed." It happened 2 months ago. The plowman overtook the reaper. A little boy got healed. An instantaneous release of faith happened among us. It's happening right now. It's happening to those that are watching online. Instantaneously, there is manifestation. But Amos sees this. He's a prophet. About 3,000 years ago, he wrote these words. 750 B.C., he wrote these words. Ain't that right, Pastor Jim? That's right. 750-ish B.C. Pastor Jim is our theologian teacher here at NCSSM, here at Church on the North Coast. He wrote these words 750 years before Jesus would arrive. 750 years before Jesus would arrive to initiate what prophetically was spoken, he said, there's coming a day, there's coming a season on the earth where there will be a people who will be so filled with faith that the moment they sow a seed, the seed will manifest. It's not this. He's saying there's a time coming where there will be a generation marked by instantaneous belief in God's promises. They won't have to be coerced into it. They won't have to be massaged into it. It's not like the generation that says, all right, I'll come back next week. We'll work on phase two of my faith. It's not that generation that Amos sees. He says, the days are going to come where there will be a people who will believe God at his word so much so that when a promise is uttered, they'll look for the manifestation of the promise. Jesus comes, Hebrews 11:1. Let me read this for you. Hebrews 11:1. If you have it, you can put it on the screen. I'm going to find it. I want you to hear this. Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Write it down. The author of Hebrews says these words. Now remember, Jesus has come. He has initiated the promise spoken by Amos. Jesus has come. We're now about 30 years, 33 years past the resurrection of Christ. And here, the author of Hebrews utters these words. He says, God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son. He says, now I spoke, then I spoke through the prophet to the fathers, but now the Son is speaking to us. The Son who fulfilled every promise on that day is speaking to us. The Son who took your sin and my sin, hung on a cross and died, laid in a grave and was resurrected and said, every promise now. Every promise, not just the little ones, not just the very big ones, but every promise ever spoken is now guaranteed by the blood of my sacrifice. The blood of the bulls and the goats were not sufficient, but the sufficiency, my sufficiency is so adequate that every promise ever uttered, every promise that your heart could believe for is now sealed in the new covenant of his blood. And it says, every one of them are yours. Every one of them should be believed for. Every one of them should be expected. Not just your sins. Not just your sins to go to heaven. Not just so that one day in the by and by you could throw your chair up into heaven, but so that way every promise now is yes. Every promise. My children be saved? Yes. Huh? Restored after divorce? Yes. Even that. You mean restored after prison? Yep. Yeah. Restored even after addiction? restored even after last night's sin? Yep. And it's not a prophet speaking to you. It's not the author of Hebrews. It is the Son. The Son now speaking to you and declaring to you, stop it. He's declaring to you, stop believing lies. Stop living in a prison of failure. Stop it. Stop it. I've made every promise available to you. And the only reason you're not walking in the fulfillment of those promises is because you are believing lies rather than truth. I've not come to flatter you. He said, I've not come to flatter you. I've come to declare the truth over you, because what I'm attempting to do in the earth is create an avalanche of my love and my glory and the impossible to sweep down through. It says that the mountains are going to drip with the new wine of Jesus. The new wine. The wine's going to come down. It's going to fill the valleys. Those who are living in the valleys. You know, have you ever been in a valley in life? It seems dark. You see the shadow of death in the valley. You see the shadow of death in the valley. But God said, I'm going to sweep down into the valley so much so there's going to be an avalanche that's provoked on the top of Mount Golgotha. There's going to be an avalanche that's going to start up there, and it's going to sweep down into the valley. It's going to pick everybody up, and it's going to move them. It's going to move every mountain in their life, and it's going to provide them with the assurance of my promise. So I want to talk today about the seed. The last 20 minutes, I want to talk about the seed. Amos said there's a time coming. Amos said it 3,000 years ago. Why can't we believe it today? Amos saw it before Jesus. Amos was walking around with bags of sin, and he saw it. You and I don't have any more bags of sin. They now belong to Jesus. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How come our vision is so distorted? How come our faith is so marred by yesterday? How come we carry this stuff around? He said there's going to be a time, a season, a generation of people who will have instantaneous faith, who will walk around with faith like an avalanche, just looking for something to provoke, just looking for a surface to disturb. Just put your finger. You ever see people or know somebody that they're just a troublemaker? they'll just walk into a room and stir up trouble and then walk away from it, you know? I know some people like that. They'll see something laying there, just laying there calm and peaceful, and they'll walk in there. Some of us got sisters and brothers like that. They just walk in there and kick you while you're sleeping or something. I had a uncle like that. He would see you sitting there minding your own business, and he would just come up and mess with you. You know, stick something in your ear, pour something on you, just mess with you. Amos says it's going to be a people who are going to find the status quo in their generation, and they're going to stick their finger in it and just mess with it. They're going to look for the mountaintops full of potential, and they're just going to get up there and play around on it. Until the snow breaks free and an avalanche is created. He said there's a generation that's going to come on the face of the earth who are just going to mess with the undisturbed places in life. You know, the places where the church has said, that's the way it's been, that's the way it should be, just leave it alone. Don't mess with it, just leave it alone. Now that was the time of the apostles. We don't speak in tongues no more. We don't believe in healing no more. Just leave it alone. Don't mess with it. But there's going to be a people that are going to come on the face of the earth who are going to get all up in that, and they're going to start shatabako, and they're just going to get up in there, and they're going to start prophesying. They're going to start prophesying over dead stuff, believing that it would be healed. He said there's going to be a generation. There's going to be a season. Behold, it's going to happen. Behold, it's going to happen. Behold, it's going to happen. There's a people that God said there's going to be a people that are going to believe like that. Now the people that it messes with, now religious people aren't going to like those people. They're not going to like them. They're going to get irritated by you up there. Get off the side of that mountain. Stop beating on that mountain like that. Stop messing with those places. Leave them alone. They're not going to like you. But you know, those who are down in the valley, those who have been diagnosed with leukemia, Oh, when the avalanche happens, they're going to look at you and go, hey, scoot over. I'm coming to church with you because I once had leukemia, but now I don't.
Amen.
And so the people that are getting healed are going to love it. The people that are being convicted are going to hate it. They're just not going to like it. Your measure of radical faith is going to disturb them. It's going to be irritated by you, because really your measure of faith and your willingness to step out and believe God for the impossible is an indictment on their religious faith. It's an indictment on their religious lack of faith, just their religious practice. And if you are irritated and frustrated by moves of faith, you should probably find another church. He said, Troy, don't say such things. I mean, you know, attendance ain't that good as it is. If that's how you look at things, maybe you ought to go somewhere else. Because that's not helping the condition of the infirmed. That's not helping me when I got an impossible situation. Amos said there's a time coming where the soil, remember we're talking about a seed here, where the soil is so fertile that the seeds thrown in will produce fruit ready for harvest. You won't have to grow it. You won't have to lay hands on his eyes. What do you see? I see blurry somethings. Then lay again, and oh, I see men like trees. No, this is that stuff where you just throw it in and it comes up ready. You throw it in the city of Lorraine, it comes up ready. Comes up ready for harvest. I'm talking entire schools swept into the kingdom. I'm talking our children's children just laid up, the heritage of the Lord, the lineage of faith established strong in the region. He said there's going to be a time of people who have such fertile hearts that they'll believe God at his word. You say, why? That's why it's important that you read your word every day, Christian. That's why it's important, because every time I read it, I highlight something. I don't stop until I highlight something, Pastor Cynthia. I read it, you know, every morning, and I won't stop reading it at least until I highlight one thing. One thing has to grab my spirit and say, that's my promise. That's my promise right there. That's it. You got to read it until you grab a promise and it hooks deep in your spirit and you say, that's for me. That's for my generation. That's not for somebody else. That's mine. I proclaim that. I declare that. I declare it over my household. I declare it over my children. It's mine. I grab it. Create a sudden disturbance. Trying to find where I'm supposed to be. Oh, here we go. Luke 8, verse 8. Let's read there. Luke 8, verse 8. Says this. Others fell. And remember, it's talking about the seed. Others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Remember, in this particular passage of text, he's speaking of the seed, of the sower who sows what? What is the sower sowed? He sows the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word. Amos is talking about seed being harvested, plowman plowing the earth, seed being harvested, or the plowman overtaking the reaper. Here, Jesus is talking about seed. The sower sows the word. So when the sower sows the word, the seed goes into it. And he talks about various different kinds of soil. He's saying there's some soil, it's so hard you can throw a seed out there and the seed will bounce off of it and it will produce nothing. Then there's other soil that it's kind of rocky, and when the seed goes in, it'll catch a place at first, but then over time, cares and burdens of this world will choke it out. Thorns and thistles will choke it out. So there's all these different types of soil out there, and some of it will produce a crop. Some of it will create an avalanche crop, 30, 60, 100 fold. You remember the text. He said, some of it is going to produce such a harvest that when it's sown, it's going to multiply back to them 100 fold. Some of it 30, some of it 60. But the seed's going to hit it to good soil. The seed's going to hit it depending on how fertile that seed is, how fertile that soil is, will depend the amount of the avalanche that's created by that seed being planted. So shall my word be. When it goes, it's not going to return void, but accomplished and prospered for the thing for which it was sent to do. Here Jesus is talking about soil. The soil of your heart will determine the power of your avalanche. I'm tired of the questions always coming to me. Where's the revival that the Bible speaks of in the end times? I say to that, from this day forward, how's the soil in your heart? How's the soil in your heart? What kind of harvest are you reaping? Huh? What kind of harvest are you reaping? Because depending on the fertility of the soil in your heart, it will determine the power of the avalanche you set in motion. It will determine whether or not you set anything in motion. If there is no, if you can't look behind you and see a trail of destructive glory, destructive glory, you know, that divine glory that gets in and it wrecks families. You know, Joel, you get in there and you just disturb a whole family. They're like, Dad's anointed. And he just makes me uncomfortable. You go over to Sister Rosella's house. She lives over down on Reed Avenue. You go over there, there is this, you get anywhere within earshot of the house, and suddenly there is a disturbance in the atmosphere that says, you're not going to be comfortable coming around me. You're going to know the power of God and the glory of his resurrection. You're going to feel it. My kids feel it. You're going to feel it. There's this trail of glory that should follow us if our hearts are fertile, right. If our hearts are right. So I want to talk to you in the closing moments now on how to create and keep a heart that has rich soil. Now, I did a little investigating about soil. I did some research on soil. And there is a way, biology has this way of producing soil. The ecosystems create soil. How then do you create soil? First, I found that when they say if you're going to have good soil, there's some things. There's five things you got to have in order to have good soil. Soil that creates an avalanche. The first one is the foundation. The foundation of your soil, which speaks to us and it makes reference to the parent material from which the soil is made. The parent material from which the soil is made. Meaning this, what kind of trees hover over your life? If there's oak trees, I got a bunch of oak trees in my backyard. I put a shovel in my backyard. The years of those oak trees, they're very mature. The years of those oak trees will be revealed the moment I put a shovel in the ground and turn it over. I can see the parent material in the soil. I can see what the soil is made of based on what's on top of the soil coming out of the soil, giving back to the soil. I can see what's in your heart if I know what your parents are made of. Meaning, are you under divine leadership? this is going to sting a little bit. Or do you suggest that you need no covering? Or you only need covering when you have crisis? You don't want marriage counsel till marriage is falling apart. What kind of parent material is your soil made of? Because good leadership will produce good soil. But if you're like a lot in our generation today, bless the Lord. Listen, bless the Lord for his grace over our generation today. We were speaking of Jeremiah the other day, and we said, God's going to give him long life because he honors his mama and daddy so much. But bless the Lord for his grace over generations that exist today. Because the parent material, there's a generation today that scorns leadership. That pridefully and obstinately rejects it. I'm not talking about subjection here. I'm not talking about religious subjection. I'm talking about what was in your father, like Timothy, like Paul said to Timothy, what was in your grandma, what was in your dad, what was in your mom. It's in you. I see it. If they don't say of me, there's a little bit of Pastor Caton in you. There's some Greg Ball in you. If they don't say that of me, then I don't represent. I have not allowed the parent material to get down into the DNA of my heart and reproduce something. And the question is, what is the soil of your heart comprised of? Well, I mean, does it look a little bit like the faith of your grandma's faith? Does it look a little bit like your mama and daddy's faith? That's why we ought to honor our parents, because there's a promise inside of them that they are attempting to get down on in the inside of you. And they say, I want to see the greater. I want my ceiling to be your floor. That's why there needs to be honor to our parents. I want to be on, Elder Jim, I just pray that there's parent material from you inside of my heart. Because it speaks of the richness of the soil and how quickly I can believe for certain promises. If you get this, it'll change your life. Because I got this when I was talking about Pastor Greg down in Florida. You know that guy that was dead for 3 days and came back to life. I said, bless the Lord, that's in there. That's in there. And now, I don't want to die now, Jesus. But I want to have power and anointing to declare to the dead things in life. Get up and walk. Get up and walk, because the spirit of Elijah rests on me. And I wandered the hands of Elijah, therefore I walk in the anointing of him. I can declare, I'm not like Gehazi. I can walk down there and declare to that cloud, yeah, I see the cloud. You don't have to see it. I'll see it for you. I see a cloud out there, Elijah. There's a cloud out there formed the size of a man's hand. And I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Parent material. Good foundation. What's your foundation made of? Look at your leadership, you'll know. Number two, drainage. Drainage. Good soil must have drainage. Too much moisture will create a swamp. Too much moisture will create a swamp where algae will grow, and nothing can come up out of that soil. But the frogs will live there. Your soil will stinketh. Some of our faith has stunketh before. Because all you do is take. I know, I told you it's going to sting a little bit. If all you do is take. All you do is take and fill your pockets up with promises. And you never give any away. If there's not a release in your life somewhere, your soil, it can't produce hundredfold. Your soil, the soil of your heart, that's why believers today should be the most giving people on the face of the planet. We should be the most releasing people, not just givers financially. I mean givers of hope. I mean when the doctor says there's no way, we just declare there all things are possible. There is a way. He's a way maker. God can do it. I know you're saying, no, he can't. I know. But God can. He will. And he has. And he will. So giving, it ought to be the thing that defines us. We must drain. We must continue to be a river. Out of your belly shall flow. Out of your belly shall flow. There must be a flow in your life in order to create good soil in your heart that provokes an avalanche in your life and in your generation. Number three, climate. Good climate. If there's too much, too harsh of a climate will rob the soil of its nutrients. Too harsh of a climate will rob the soil of its nutrients. Too much sun, too much shade, too much rain. You know that to be true. You can't grow certain things in a yard that doesn't get enough sun. I tried to grow tomatoes in my backyard. There's no sun. The climate was too harsh. I had to take those pots and I had to move them to the front yard where there was 6-7 hours of sun at least a day, where the climate was right for making tomatoes. What does this tell us? That we cannot allow ourselves to get stuck in certain areas. We cannot allow our lives to be defined by lies. You can't get stuck in rejection. You can't, it's a climate that will rob your heart of its nutrients. You can't get stuck in bitterness. Because it will rob your heart of its nutrients. Faith will be stopped in your life because you walk around bitter. You cannot allow yourself to get stuck by trauma. By when the thief stole from you. My wife and I experienced a miscarriage a while ago, last year. You know what the enemy did in that season? You know how powerful the lies of the enemy are? And you know how the enemy will use Christians to attempt to affirm the curse? He will use the people that are the closest to you to whisper in your ear and lie to you. So you got to be careful not to get stuck in those places. I had to make sure. I said, no. This is not the climate I'm going to live in. This is not the atmosphere my house will. I'm not going to walk around in depression. I'm not going to walk around in the memory of that forever. I'm going to keep on walking in the sun of glory. I'm going to move myself to the front yard where there's some sun out there. I'm going to go sit in the sun. I'm going to go sit in the grace of God's glory, and I'm going to let him talk to me. I'm going to turn off Facebook because y'all lie. I'm going to turn off Twitter because they lie too. I'm turn the TV off because they sure enough lie. I'm just going to turn it all off, and I'm going to get to a place where the climate will feed my soil. I need God to feed my soil. So I'm going to go sit in a climate that declares to me God's goodness. I got on the back of a truck in Haiti, and God began to whisper to me, I love you, Troy. You are the apple of my eye. You are made in my image and my likeness. And God, I listened, and I held onto the back of that truck, and God whispered to me all of his promises to me, and he washed away the approach of the enemy. He washed away the lies of the enemy until I was able to get off of that moment and say, okay, I'm strong. I filled myself up. And then I can come back and listen to all the propaganda and lies on Facebook and so on. But you can't get stuck there. Because climate matters. Climate matters. You got to keep holding on to the goodness of God. I don't care how bad it gets. You got to hold on to the goodness of God. Don't let go of His goodness. Don't keep lying to yourself. Don't repeat the lies of the enemy. Don't talk to yourself about the lies of the enemy. Don't affirm them. This is where people lose it. This is where people who are mature in faith walk away, never come back. Been pillars in the faith, in the community of faith for 30 years. And the enemy starts lying to them. They just walk away. Break. Climate's important. Number four, living. Help me, Jesus. Living organisms. Living organisms. Good soil will have living organisms in them. You got to have some people in your life that give to you. There's got to be some people. This is why I laugh when people tell me, I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because the climate is going to change on you. It's going to start raining in your life. And then depending on who's around you, you're going to get messed up. You're going to start defining your life by the clouds. But that's why you need a Pastor Jim and a Pastor Amy in your life to lean over and tell you, this is not going to last forever. Hold on to faith. You got to have some living organisms. You must have living organisms in order to provide a rich heart. Don't allow the refuse of the living, though. Don't allow the refuse of the living organisms to pollute your soil. You got to keep a close eye on which organisms belong in your soil. Okay. If you look around and all you see is people refusing on you and telling you it's raining, but in reality it's refuse. Don't lie to me by refusing on me and telling me it's raining. You're refusing on me. And if you look around and all you see are people leaving their refuse in your stuff, just on your life, refuse in your name, refuse in your family. You need to take those people and get them out of your flower pot. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love them. That just means they need to get to a point where they stop refusing. Refuse. You know what I'm talking about. These people who constantly refuse. A lot of them are in our families. And we struggle with how to keep that balance. Let me help you with something. Jesus had, he knew how to do this well. He knew how to do this well. He said, Peter, James, and John, come with me. Peter, James, and John, they find themselves in some serious situations with Jesus. Now, the others, not so much. And then the others beyond them, not at all. Which tells us their refuse can't be good for our faith. Because Jesus would say, Peter, James, and John, you could come. Everybody else, get out. Meaning, you're going to go through things in your life where you say, Cynthia, Pastor Cynthia, Pastor Jim, Pastor Amy, come in here. Rest of y'all, get out. Now, don't get hurt by that. Just know there's a process. Just know that certain things demand certain levels of faith. And if you got people in your life that all they do is refuse, you got to learn the balance of pushing them out of the flower pot.
You can come over on Sunday. When my faith is all filled up, we can eat chicken. Then you got to go home. You don't have to. No, you don't have to. You know, you don't even have to go home. You just can't be here no more. In Jesus' name. Keep a close eye on which organisms belong in your soil. Some belong and some do not. A little refuse, though, is not bad. Because manure helps the soil. I'm helping somebody. A little manure. Too much, though, not good. A little bit, just right. Okay, we can grow better corn that way. But all you are, you got to go. Can't grow corn with that kind of stuff in here. Okay, number five. Lastly. That was safe? Oh, good. Woo! Number five, time. Soil, good soil takes time. And this is where a lot of us get messed up, because we're looking for an avalanche to happen because we see it. And I just want to talk to all of the plowmen that are here today, because you saw it a long time ago. You plowed the soil and you've been waiting. A lot of time has gone by. Time has gone by. No doubt you've been expecting and waiting, but the soil wasn't ready because it needed more time. The process of developing and manifesting this season of instantaneous release, it's going to take us, it's a process. It's a process that has to happen. And where we get messed up is we see what God sees, but spirit and time, they hurt. The spirit sees and knows all things. But if you're married to him and he doesn't act right, by the spirit you see who he is, but time has not gotten him to the place of what your spirit has saw. Personally, you say, I see myself at this level of success in my life. And you see it, but time says there are some things that have to happen in order for the soil to compress and compress and compress. And after a while of compressing, the soil will become ripe enough for you to walk in the success you saw in the spirit. But don't get frustrated to the point where you give up because time is not manifesting what you saw in the spirit. Just take courage in the fact that God is working on something. There is a process God is working on in your life, that the pressing in your life is producing soil in your life that's about to create a manifest, a harvest in your life. But it frustrates us nonetheless. That's how vision works. When life becomes impatient, don't rob your soil of its potential. Come on, let's stand up and close in prayer. Altar ministers, if you'll come forward now. Give me a little bit of Jesus music back there. Anything. Just turn on Pandora. Hillsong United. Just turn that on and it'll just be sweet Jesus. If you're here today, I want you to know this. This I want you to know. And Caesar's the baby here? He can't hear me. Caesar Delgado. Caesar, I'm talking to you. Caesar's like, you're not really Caesar. Is the baby here? Can you go get her and bring her?
We're going to pray as we close. We want to pray for you. And here's what I want you to leave with. If you don't know Christ, you need to know Him. If you don't know Christ, you're dead. There. You're dead. You're not alive. If you'd like to be alive, I can pray for you at the conclusion. We're going to pray a prayer and you can be born again. You can be born again. You can come to life. The Bible says he brings the dead to life, and he wants to do that today. And if you're in here and you say, I don't feel like my life is bearing the resemblance of an avalanche, I want to pray for you. Because every person in here, are you a person? Yeah, you are a person. You didn't know, you are. You are a person who divinely is created to have an avalanche impact in your life personally, in your family life, in your community. God made you so you would not be fulfilled until you created. God said, I've made you in my image and my likeness, and you will not be fulfilled in your life until your life begins to create as your Father created you. And if you're bored with life, if you're bored with church, I'm telling you today, it is because you are not walking in the divine order that says to you, greater work shall I do. Greater work shall I do than he has done. Greater work shall my life bear than even Christ has borne. He wants to create an avalanche with your life and through your life. He wants to declare the truth to you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you now that if we are not born again, we call out to you now and we say, make us alive. Make me alive, God. Come on, cry out to God. Make me alive in this moment. I want to live to the glory of God. I want my life to have eternal impact. I'm tired of just checking in and checking out. I'm tired of waking up in the morning and going to bed at night. I want my life to mean something. I want it to be significant. I want to live, God. I want to live so powerfully that I leave a trail of your glory wherever I go. I want to live for you, God. I want to live for you. I now take your righteousness. I surrender my sin, the sin that besets me, the sin that causes me to stumble, the sin that causes me to fail. I let it go and I grab hold of your righteousness. I confess that you are the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. I believe in you, God, and I will live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, if that's you, you just gave your life to Christ. You are now born again. You are not the same person you were 30 seconds ago. You are created new. You are made in His image and His likeness. And now, Lord, we thank you for this time together today. I pray, God, there would be an anointing upon every man, woman, boy, and girl watching, listening online, listening in this room, here today, present in this room, that their lives would have an eternal impact that would cause glory to be spilled out and provoked in places that are undisturbed. I pray, God, that in this moment, they would recognize the potential of their life, that they would never be settled, that they would never settle, that they would never accept less than God, than that which you paid for. We give you praise today and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastors Jim and Amy are going to come now and close us in some final details. We're gonna